Welcome to Learning Bible Truth Ministries. I am the founder, host, and teacher, your one and only Dr. Kamala D. Here to teach you Bible truth so you can grow in faith and learn how to walk in God's amazing grace. So get your Bibles, invite family and friends, take notes, and let's learn Bible truth. Good morning, everyone. Today is Monday, April 15th, 2024. I am the host, founder, and teacher of Learning Bible Truth Ministries podcast, your one and only Dr. Kamala D. I hope this day finds you and your family well. Today's message is going to take some time. God placed this message on my heart for several weeks and inspired me to share it today. Now, after today, let me share. I am going to take a 3-week vacation from podcasting. First, I'm going to be drained after sharing this message. I'll be working on my YouTube channel as well. I think I found the best software for me. And I advise you right now to go over to YouTube, type in Learning Bible Truth Ministries with teacher Dr. Kamala D and subscribe. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything, because during my 3-week vacation, I will upload an introduction. Oh, yes. My introduction to YouTube, and say hi to everyone. And you can say hi back to me so that you can know who you are listening to. Secondly, I'll be spending time with God, learning and receiving more information from Him relating to my ministry, and reading 3 important books the Holy Spirit led me to purchase. I started reading one of them yesterday. If I feed my spirit good food, I can feed you great spiritual food. Some of what you are going to hear today will shock you if your spirit man is not born again. If it is, this message will give you clarity of something you might be confused about. I allowed the Holy Spirit to guide me in my studies before I decided to share this message. I take teaching very seriously, teaching of the Word of God, very seriously. And for my critics, go listen to a message centered more around your carnal, earthly mind. This message is not for unbelievers. So with that said, saints, let's get this truth on the road. Go to Genesis chapter 15. Now, the version of the Bible that will be the more used Bible that I will be teaching from today is the New Living Translation, the NLT. I will read and teach from another version, but when we get to that version, I will let you know that I am switching. So, Genesis 15, I'll be reading verses 1-6. We are going to be reading a lot of scripture today. And with that said, I will be giving more commentary today than usual, because some of the scriptures I am going to share, I will have to clarify. And that is for people who want to know the truth, but they are not really born again. So their spirit man will not understand some of the things that I'm going to share. So, verse 1 of Genesis 15, I am reading. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O suborn Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my house, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." I'm reading verse 4 so that we can be on the same page. Verse 4 says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir.'" Verses 5 and 6, Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. The righteousness of Abraham is what we are going to talk about today. The righteousness of Abraham. God declared Abraham righteous because Abraham not only believed in God, but he believed God. People also know Abraham as a hero of faith and the father of faith. Now, the Bible states that every word should be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. We just read witness number one in Genesis 15. Let's look at witness number two. What did James, the brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus, say about Abraham? Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 21 through 23. And it says, "Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" We will come back to James 2:21, okay? Verse 22, you see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And verse 23, "And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God." James was confirming Genesis 15:6. Let's read witness number three. Go to Romans chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1-3. The Apostle Paul is speaking. James was speaking to the church in Jerusalem because their faith was all over the place. They didn't believe. They didn't understand the things of God. They didn't know God. Now, they were born again, but they had to learn the things of God and learn the ways of God. And James wrote them this letter, the church at Jerusalem, because he was over that church, and tried to make some things clear to them. Now, the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1-3. And he says, "Abram was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way." Verse 3 says, "For the scriptures tell us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith." The Apostle Paul explained to the Romans how Abraham obtained righteousness with God through his faith. Paul also confirmed Genesis 15:6. Now, though it might sound like it, there is no contradiction between what James said about faith versus what Paul said about faith. James confirmed that if you don't act on what you believe, you really don't believe what you say you believe. Therefore, your faith without your works is dead. The Apostle Paul basically said the same thing, but was referring to salvation to the Romans. Paul said works or good works did not make Abraham righteous in the sight of God. Abraham was declared righteous by believing what God told him about salvation and acting on it. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 6-9. This is witness number 4. I believe in taking it a step further when it comes to the things of God. Although this is the Apostle Paul speaking, he is consistent when he is talking to another church. He spoke to the Romans prior to me sharing this. Now he's talking to the Galatians. Paul said in verse 6, in the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, this is verse 7, then are those who put their faith in God. Now, Paul was talking about the Jews, the actual children of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham. Verse 8 says, what's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles are anyone who is not a Jew, that's us. Those who are listening that are not a Jew, we are a Gentile. That God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith, but proclaim this good news to Abram long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. Oh my. Verse 9 says, so all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Wow. Long ago, God told Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him because of his faith. So Paul was saying, basically, we can't do enough good works to be declared righteous in the sight of God. All non-Jews, Gentiles, who put their faith in Christ will share in the same blessings as Abraham. My goodness. What kind of faith did Abraham possess for God to bless his countless descendants and proclaim that all nations would receive blessings through him, through Abraham? Let's look at some things Abraham believed from God. We will come back to Galatians 3:8 and James 2:21 later because they are very important. God not only proclaimed the good news to Abraham, he showed Abraham the good news. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be doing a lot of reading here. I'll be reading verses 8 through 19. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 19. These are very important scriptures, saints. I am reading, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Verse 9. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Verse 11, it was by faith that even Sarah, Abraham's wife, was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. Sarah was 90 years old. Abraham was 100 years old when God promised to give them a son. We read the promise in Genesis chapter 15. Sarah, this is the latter part of verse 11, Hebrews 8, she believed that God would keep his promise. Even Sarah was declared righteous in the sight of God because she believed God as well, pertaining to having a child at the age of 90. Verse 12 says, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead because he was 100 years old. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, which we cannot count, there is no way to count them. Verse 13 says, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised at that time, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads. Nomads are exiles, pilgrims, here on earth. Verse 14 says, obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. Verse 15 and 16 says, if they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God. Let me slow down, saints. For he has prepared a city for them. Verses 17, 18, and 19 says, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again in the resurrection. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Oh, my Lord. This is where we are getting deep, saints. Father Abraham believed that God's son, the Messiah, Jesus, would be the sacrifice for his sins and the sin of the entire world way back in the Old Testament, and that God would raise his son in the resurrection. Because Abraham's faith in God was so strong, God gave Abraham a glimpse of Jesus being sacrificed. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to be reading a lot again, saints, and I'm switching to the New King James Version. Genesis chapter 22, I'll be reading verses 1 through 19, where Abraham's powerful faith was confirmed. Beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, meaning he proved Abraham's faith, and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Now, let me share this quick note. The genuineness of Abraham's obedience to God is tested. Now, while it is not unknown for God to test individuals, testing must be clearly distinguished from tempting. God does not tempt anyone, and he does not tempt anyone to do evil. Now, James 1:13 confirms that God does not tempt anyone to do evil. Okay. Now, he does, however, throughout the Old Testament, test the commitment of people. That is what God does. In the Old Testament, he tests the commitment of people. Today, Satan tests people. Verse 2 says, then God said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. I wonder why God said your only son, because Abraham had another son before Isaac. But we will get back to that. Whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Verses 3 and 4 says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, two of his servants, and Isaac, his son. And Abraham split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Verses 4 and 5 says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place from afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad, talking about his son, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Verse 6 says, so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac, poor little lad, he was about 8 years old at the time, spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And my God, you guys pay attention to verse 8. One of the reasons why Abraham was declared the father of all nations or many nations. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. My Lord, remember verse 8 here. Verse 9, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood." Verse 10, 11, and 12 says, "And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was preparing to cut Isaac's neck. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So Abraham said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to harm him. For now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.'" Now the angel of the Lord, don't be confused, was known as Jesus incarnate at that time. That was Jesus speaking to Abraham. And you can catch it if you read it here. Let's read 11 again. "But the angel of the Lord," it says angel, "the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said," this is the angel of the Lord, "'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know you fear God." Now, look at the latter part of verse 12. "Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." He wasn't withholding his only son from an angel. He was withholding his only son from God, not an angel. So this was Jesus talking to Father Abraham. Verse 13, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns, caught in the bushes. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son." Now in John chapter 8, verse 56, the Living Bible, Jesus had informed some unbelieving Pharisees that Abraham, their father, had rejoiced to see his day. Jesus was talking about this scripture here. Abraham knew Jesus was coming and would be the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus was saying that your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And then they started criticizing Jesus, saying, "You're not even 50 years old. How do you know our father Abraham?" And Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus existed back in the Old Testament. This was Jesus, also known as the angel of the Lord. It was not Michael. It was not Gabriel. It was Jesus seated at the right hand of God. And right here is when Abraham had a glimpse of the coming of the Savior. Hallelujah. Verse 14 says, "And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" Verse 15 and 16 says, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Lord.'" Did you catch it? Verse 15, "Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself, I have sworn, says the Lord.'" Okay. "Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you." This is verse 17. "And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." Verse 18, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Right here. Because you have obeyed my voice. Verse 19 says, so Abraham returned to his young men and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt there at Beersheba. Abraham was consistent with his faith. He doubted nothing God said or told him to do. Now, when God first told Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son at their old age, Abraham wanted to know how, or he wanted to know how he was going to have all of these descendants, but he never doubted. He just asked for clarification and God gave it to him. When Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son to God, God declared him righteous. It was at that point Abraham was declared righteous. God then showed him a glimpse of the sacrifice his son would make for the sin of the world. Now, Abraham told his son in verse 8, remember, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Abraham knew in his heart of hearts that either way, God would provide a lamb for the sacrifice. God would raise Isaac in the resurrection, which we will talk about later on in this message, or God would stop him from sacrificing his son. Either way go, Abraham believed God. So why did God ask Abraham to sacrifice his only son for a burnt offering? Abraham had another son. He had Ishmael. So why did God say your only son? Because Ishmael was not the son God promised Abraham. Isaac was the promised son God promised Abraham and his wife Sarah. And if you know the story, I don't want to sidetrack too long because this is a long message. Abraham and after Abraham and his wife Sarah received that message from God that he would give them a son, Sarah got impatient and forced Abraham to go and marry her maidservant Hagar, which was an Egyptian woman who was a black woman. And Ishmael was born, but Ishmael was not the promised son. The promised son was between Abraham and his first wife, Sarah. Hagar was a second wife that his wife, Sarah, who was impatient, although she believed God, she still was impatient. Remember, these people had flesh too. They were declared righteous because they believed God, but they were in their flesh. And she brought her husband to another woman, a maidservant, didn't care nothing about the ethnicity, so that he can have a descendant. But God still kept his promise. Sarah ended up getting pregnant in her 90s. Abraham still was in his hundreds, early hundreds. And then Isaac was born. So God wanted Abraham to see for himself how God would provide his only son as the ultimate sacrifice. Just when Abraham was getting ready to slice Isaac's throat, an angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham and said not to harm the lad. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram in the bushes. That ram was symbolic to Jesus, God's only son, his only begotten son. That would be the sacrificial lamb. So that's why when God was talking to Abraham, he kept saying, your only son. Because Abraham and Sarah produced Isaac, the child of promise. Jesus was God's son of promise to be our sacrifice. So you got to equate the two. Okay. Boy, I tell you, that's why I'm taking 3 weeks off, because this will drain you. Yes, it will. And anyone listening who is a minister, a teacher of the gospel, or a teacher of this Bible will tell you that it drains you to study the word of God and to share it, to communicate it. Oh, goodness. So remember in John chapter 1, verses 29 through 32, John the baptizer saw Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, this is John talking, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. Then John reminded everyone that Jesus existed before him. Even though John the Baptizer was born before Jesus, John knew Christ existed with God before the world was even created. Now we are about to go deep, saints. So look, put your thinking hats on if you want to pause and pray and ask God to give you understanding. You can do that. You have the ability because of modern technology. We are about to go deep. You are learning Bible truth. Now, Abraham and a lot of his descendants believed in the coming of the righteous one, Christ, way back before Christ died for them. They were saved because of their faith. However, when they died, they could not go to heaven because Jesus had not yet created a place for them and us just yet. Now, once Christ finally ascended on high, he took the old saints who passed away with him from their graves. I hope I didn't lose some of you there. Let me say that again. Once Christ ascended on high, he took the old saints who passed away with him from their graves, including Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll prove it in scripture. Just hold tight. Now, before Jesus created heaven, there was a place called paradise, also known as Abraham's bosom. Paradise was in the earth's heart across from Hades, or hell, if you will. Let's look at two events that point to the heart of the earth where men of God were after their deaths before Christ died. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. I'm still in the New King James Version, by the way. I'll be reading verses 11 through 19. Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel." Samuel's mother was Hannah for me. Now, let me explain this right quick. Samuel was a prophet and a judge for Israel. As a matter of fact, he was the last judge of Israel. Samuel was a proselyte at birth. His mother Hannah could not have children. She prayed and asked God for a son, and he gave her a son, and she had promised, "If you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you." So Samuel was dedicated to God as soon as he was weaned off his mother's breast milk. And he was turned over to the priest, and he was raised as a priest. He was a judge and prophet of Israel, the last, let me say it again, judge of Israel. Now, Saul, if you guys can recall, was king just before King David. Saul started off good, but then he got a taste of that power and he turned. So God took his spirit from Saul and said he wanted David to be king, but Saul refused to leave office. Sounds familiar? Saul refused to leave office. So when Saul refused to leave office and refused to obey God, he found out that the Philistines were getting ready to attack them. So he consulted the Lord, and the Lord didn't answer him. Saul used to be able to go to Samuel, the prophet, and communicate with him, but Samuel had passed away. So Saul, before all this happened, had put all the mediums, the Miss Cleo on them, out of the land and killed off all the priests. That's how power hungry he was. It's a dangerous thing to put a man who worships power and money over people. It's a dangerous thing. And a man who completely ignores God to the point where they think they are God. Now, when Saul found out that the Philistines were getting ready to attack him or attack Israel, he consulted with God, but God didn't answer him. God had taken his spirit from him, and in God's sight, Saul didn't exist. And he couldn't go to Samuel because Samuel had died. So he went to a medium and asked her to pull Samuel up from the grave. Now, I tell you, we are going deep from this moment on. And right now, I am just reading these scriptures to prove to you and show you through scripture where Abraham's bosom was and where paradise was. It was not in the heavens. It was under the earth. Samuel was definitely a true man of God, so he was not in hell. At that time, hell was down there and so was paradise, but they were afar from one another. Stay with me now. So I'm reading verse 12. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." Because when he went to her, he was disguised, because he had put all the mediums out and he was afraid that if she knew it was him, she wouldn't come. She would run. But she recognized him. But I want you to keep in mind what the beginning of verse 12 says. So when the woman saw Samuel, okay, this brings us back to verse 11. I told you guys I was going to do a lot of explaining. Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." Okay. Verse 12, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." Verse 13 says, and the king said to her, this is Saul talking, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." That spirit she saw was Samuel. "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." So he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived it was Samuel. So he confirmed, he perceived in his heart that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now, let me mention this here. This is the only time in history that someone was able to come back from the dead, because Jesus confirms that no one can come back and talk to anybody. Okay? So I told you it's going to get deep. I just want you to pay close attention. So let me slow down. Verse 15. Now Samuel said to Saul, so this was him. A lot of the Bible scholars were saying, well, no, it wasn't Samuel. Yes, it was. The Bible says it is. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean that it's not true. The Bible says right here, now Samuel said to Saul, not a spirit impersonating Saul. It says, now Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed. Full of Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore, I have called you so that you may reveal to me what I should do." But check out, Samuel was loyal to God even from the grave. Then Samuel said, not an impersonating spirit, then Samuel said, "So why do you ask me? Seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy." This how you know it was Samuel. It wasn't Satan impersonating Samuel, because Satan is a liar and would have advised Saul improperly to the point where he would have been killed along with Israel. So this was Samuel. Let me read 16 again. Then Samuel said, "So why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy?" Verse 17, "And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke to me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David." Verse 18 says, "Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek." This is when God took his spirit from Saul. He had asked Saul to destroy Amalek, and Saul didn't. As a matter of fact, Saul made a treaty with Amalek. He went against what God said. "Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day." And verse 19 says, "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me." Right here, let me clarify. And I am not contradicting myself. When Samuel said, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. He was not talking about in paradise, because Saul was no longer a part of, no longer communicating with God. He was no longer chosen by God. God had removed his spirit. What Samuel was saying is, you're going to be in the ground with me. You ain't going to be where I am in paradise, but you're going to be in the grave. You're going to die tomorrow. That is what he was telling Saul. You and your sons are going to die. So I want you to go to Luke, because let me clarify what I'm saying. Go to Luke chapter 16. I'll be reading. Here we go. Verses 19 through 31. I told you guys we are going to be reading a lot, because you need to hear the word of God. And if I have to explain and elaborate on it, I will. Let me sidetrack here just for a moment. Abraham's bosom was under the earth. This is what I'm trying to clarify. Luke 16, 19, 31. Abraham's bosom was under the earth. So let's see what Jesus said about paradise or Abraham's bosom. Okay. Luke 16, 19 through 31. This is the TLB, the Living Bible. There was a certain rich man, Jesus said, who was splendidly clothed and lived each day in mirth and luxury. One day, Lazarus, a diseased beggar, was laid at his door. As he lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham in the place of the righteous dead. Your version of the Bible may say to be with Abraham in Abraham's bosom. Now, there is a reason that I chose this particular translation, because the wording is correct. And the other translations that I read, it was about 12 of them, is very misleading. And I don't want you to think I'm trying to change what God is saying. The Holy Spirit led me to the Living Bible to share this translation, because it definitely communicates what I am trying to share to you. So verse 22 again, finally, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, or to be with Abraham in the place of the righteous dead. This is also known as Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23 and 24 says, and his soul went into hell, talking about the rich man. There in torment, he saw Lazarus in the far distance with Abraham. This right here, verse 23, is the reason I chose the Living Bible, because what I am communicating to you is that Abraham's bosom or paradise was in the heart of the earth, far from Hades or hell, but could be seen by the rich man. He couldn't get to them, but he saw them. They were under the earth. Both were. Verse 24, Father Abraham, he shouted, have some pity or mercy. Send Lazarus over here, if only to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in these flames. Verse 25 and 26 says, but Abraham said to him, son, remember that during your lifetime, you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm or a great gulf or a barrier separating us. And anyone wanting to come to you from here is stopped at its edge. And no one over there can cross to us. So when we read in 1 Samuel about Samuel being pulled up to talk, that was the only event recorded. There is no other recording. It can't happen. Jesus is the master. So all of these people who are saying they died and went to hell and I'm coming back to tell y'all what happened, that's a lie. They dreamed. They didn't go there. No one. What did Jesus say? Besides, there is a great chasm, which is a great gulf fixed, a barrier separating us. And anyone wanting to come to you from here is stopped at its edge. Abraham is saying, look, we can't go over there. So ain't no purgatory. We can't come from this heavenly place and we can't go over to you. So what are you saying? Dr. Kamala D, this is talking about you can't go from paradise to hell. Yes, that is what I'm talking about. So let's keep reading. Then the rich man said, "Oh, Father Abraham, then please send him to my father's house." Okay, the father's house is on earth. "For I have five brothers to warn them about this place of torment, lest they come here when they die." But Abraham said, "The scriptures have warned them again and again. Your brothers can read them at any time they want to." The rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, they won't bother to read them. But if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will turn from their sins." But Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even though someone rises from the dead." Now, rising from the dead is referring to Jesus, because Jesus is the one telling his story. He is saying that they're not even going to listen to me. I'm going to rise from the dead. No, Jesus didn't just rise from the dead. He was resurrected. There's a difference between rising from the dead and being resurrected. Now, we are going to get there as well. Okay. Now, I read more than I needed to, but I wanted, what I wanted you to see is that the rich man went to Hades when he died. He saw Lazarus in the far distance with Abraham. Both were in the heart of the earth, the ground, if you will. Abraham's bosom was not in heaven at that time. The rich man could see it, but it was far away from hell under the earth. Now, notice what Jesus said. No one could leave paradise and go back to earth and share nothing. And you can't leave hell and come back and tell what you saw. There is a great gulf, a barrier fixed or in place. Spirits can't pass through it and return to earth, not back then and not now. Now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in heaven. You can read 2 Corinthians 5:8. Okay, we're not going to go there, but you can go there, write down that scripture. To be absent from the body, which is talking about your spirit man, is to be present with the Lord. When we pass away, our spirit man leaves our body and goes to sit with Christ at God's right hand. We are in Christ. But if you are not saved, your spirit goes into the heart of the earth where hell is, or shall I say Hades. Okay, now let's really go deep. If you go to Matthew 27, okay, guys, hold on to your hats. Matthew 27, I'll be reading verses 50 through 54. We will read where some saints of old rose from the dead when Jesus resurrected from the grave on the third day, and they presented themselves to others. Teachers in the body of Christ rarely talk about this event. I don't know if it's because they don't believe it, or they don't know, or they don't trust themselves to communicate it. Well, how many of you know that I don't shy away from Bible truth? You either believe it or you don't, but I will teach it. Okay, Matthew 27, beginning at verse 50. "And Jesus cried out," this is Jesus giving up his spirit on the cross when he was being crucified. "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." Now, the veil in the temple was so thick, man can't cut it and couldn't tear it. The veil in the temple separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is where the high priest went once a year and offered up sacrifices, first for himself and then for the sins of the people. That veil was torn in two because we no longer need a priest. We no longer need a high priest. Christ is our high priest for us to go to the throne of grace. We can go ourselves. We don't need nobody to go for us. Our sins are now forgiven. Let me read verse 51 again before we go to 52. "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." My God, help me through verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints, the believers of old, who had fallen asleep, meaning who had died. The reason why the Bible refers to the dead in Christ as fallen asleep is because we will rise again. We will awake again. They were raised because their sins were now forgiven. Silence for you guys to catch your breath and reflect. Let me share this. This event was also prophesied in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 19. New Living, it says, but those who die in the Lord will live. Their bodies will rise again. Those who sleep in the earth will rise and sing for joy. Prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, for your life-giving light will fall like dew on your people in the place of the dead. It was also prophesied in Ezekiel 37, verse 12, and in Daniel 12, 2. He also prophesied this event. So those who know the Bible, the Old Testament, know that this was Bible prophecy coming to pass through Matthew 27. Now, those who die in the Lord will live. The resurrection of the righteous dead affirms the hope of eternal life. Okay, our father Abraham believed this when he said he believed that his son would rise again in a resurrection. If he had to really sacrifice his son, he believed that God was going to raise him in a resurrection anyway. This is what he was talking about when Christ died and rose. Okay, now Christ's resurrection resulted in the saints of old. It didn't name them. This included the saints of old, Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, David, and so forth, rising from the dead. All of them rose because they were the saints of old. Now notice verse 52 said the saints of old. I want you to get it. It didn't list their names. Now, despite not finding any other historical information about this event, other than the scriptures and the prophets that prophesied this in the Old Testament, we can reasonably assume that if they had resurrection bodies, they would not have undergone death again. But here's the thing. They did not resurrect. They were raised from the dead. I don't care what version of the Bible you read from. They did not resurrect from the dead. They were raised from the dead. Now, Jesus took them up to heaven at or after his ascension, which is written in Acts 1, verses 1 through 11. Now, let me spend more time on verses 52 and 53. I can confirm that the saints of old did not receive their new bodies when they rose from the dead with Christ. Mm-hmm. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll be reading verses 51 through 57. We are in deep waters here, saints, and this is the ESV, the English Standard Version. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthians about perishable and inherit imperishable bodies. Okay, beginning at verse 50, 1 Corinthians, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood can't. That's our flesh. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. That's our perishable bodies cannot inherit the imperishable, which is in the kingdom of God. We have to have new bodies. We have to. Verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Paul says, a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he's talking about the rapture. This is when all of us will receive our new bodies, and the rapture has not taken place yet. Paul is talking about a future event. Paul is prophesying here. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. This is when we shall be changed into brand new, not brand new bodies, but he will make our old bodies new. Let me read that again, saints. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, meaning our new bodies. We will receive our old bodies made new and they will no longer perish. This is why they are calling it imperishable. And we shall be changed. We shall be is future tense. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Verse 54 says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. Then shall come to pass the saying that is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Christ Jesus. What I just read was Paul talking about the dead rising first, which is what we read in Matthew 27, but they had not received their imperishable bodies yet, because the rapture has not occurred yet. Paul said this will take place. All doesn't leave out any of the saints. This will take place in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This is the rapture. It was Christ taking the righteous dead with him so they could sleep in Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when your loved one passes away, they are asleep in Jesus, or either dead in Christ. Because to be absent from the body, I have to keep saying this, saints, so that it can stick and resonate in your mind, is to be present with the Lord. Only after Christ resurrected from the dead, those who had died could sleep in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. You should be shouting right now. Those who had died could sleep in Christ after his resurrection. Before his resurrection, they were in Abraham's bosom in the ground. This is why they came up from the ground. Now, I say this because we all will receive new bodies at the same time. We all will receive new bodies in the rapture, including the dead in Christ, which is when we will spend an eternity with the Lord. If the dead in Christ already received their new bodies, they would not be dead in Christ. You can't be in Christ with a new body. Your spirit man, their spirit man is in Christ. Their physical bodies are still in the grave, which is why you can go open up the grave right now and their bones are still there, because their physical body rotted there. But their spirit is with Christ. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. I'll be reading verses 13 through 18. And I just stayed in the ESV because I didn't feel like switching. Beginning at verse 13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep or dead, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Oh, just think about that. Verse 14 again, for since we believe Jesus died and rose again, this is where our salvation is. Even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord. We will not precede those who have fallen asleep. No, we ain't going to precede them. We're going to receive our new bodies at the same time. You got to see this spiritually, saints. You got to see it. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now he's telling it to the Thessalonians. And the dead in Christ will rise first. These are two separate events. The first one we were talking about specifically the rapture. This one we are talking about the coming of the Lord when he returns. But the rapture comes first. Paul is telling them, no, we ain't going to precede them. Look, we are going to receive our bodies at the same time, our new bodies. But the rapture takes place first, and the rapture is where we receive our new bodies. The rapture have not taken place yet. So those who rose with Christ, who came out of the grave when the veil torn, it had been torn in two when Christ died on that cross. They came out of the grave with their spirits. You can still see them. They went amongst the people. It really doesn't talk much about, you know, who they encountered and who saw them, but they said the Bible is clear that they appeared to some people, not everybody. But their spirit man could only have gone and been sleeping Jesus after Jesus resurrected from the grave. Because before then, they were in the ground, which is why they came up out of the ground in Abraham's bosom. That's where it was. Paradise and Abraham's bosom, along with Abraham, was in the ground. So let me read verse 16 again before we move on to 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Some of them already did. So when your loved one died, today, tomorrow, if they know Christ, their spirit man will immediately go to be with Jesus, but their physical body will be put in the grave until the rapture. Then their old bodies will be made new and will return to their spirits. I know that's deep. So let me move on to verse 17. Then when we are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Did you catch it? Paul says those who are alive when the rapture occurs will be caught up together with them who have already slept, who have already fallen asleep in Christ, and we will meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. This is eternal life. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. But verse 17 and 16 is so powerful. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive. Now, if the dead in Christ already was resurrected and given new bodies, why is Paul saying in verse 16, and he's not contradicting himself, and the dead in Christ will rise first? He's talking about their bodies that was left in the grave, because only your spirit goes to be with Jesus at God's right hand. Only your spirit, not your physical body. Your physical body is left in the grave, which is why we can go open up those caskets right now of your loved ones who passed away years ago, and you will see their bones, their skeleton bones. But their spirit is with Christ. So when Paul says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, he's talking about their bodies, even the rotted part that returned to dust. The skeletons, their manner would come back together and be made new. And be made new. And then the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we will all, verse 17, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. My God, Lord, thank you, Father God, for eternal life. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. It is during the rapture, saints, and I will say this for the last time, we will receive new bodies along with the dead in Christ. Only during the rapture. Now, let's conclude Matthew 27, 53 through 54. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Not all, they appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake, because Jesus had died and all this happened when the veil had torn in two. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God. Only God can do this. Nobody else claimed to have done it." Oh, but it happened during Jesus' time, pertaining to Jesus. Remember what I said in my message last week. You must be born again. Born again from above to understand the things of God. I hope this didn't overwhelm you. Jesus had not yet ascended on high to prepare a place for us. And the believers from the Old Testament, okay, the saints who had passed away stayed in Abraham's bosom until Jesus was resurrected. Until Jesus died and the veil was torn in two, allowing their spirits to come up, spend a little time with a few people. And then when Jesus was resurrected and ascended on high, he took them with him. So now they are sleeping Jesus. They are at the right hand of God with Jesus. So go to John 14. I'll be reading verses 1-4. This is about Jesus going to prepare a place for us. This is why they remained in the ground in Abraham's bosom, because they didn't have anywhere to go before Jesus went to prepare a place for us. He went to prepare a place for those in the Old Testament as well. So John chapter 14, verses 1-4 says, "Let not your heart be troubled." This is Jesus talking. "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions," which means many abiding places. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." Right here, Jesus is talking about the rapture. "That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Now, the way we know is through him. So when Christ rose from the dead, which happened in the earth's heart across from paradise, Abraham's bosom, the spirits of the believers of old who had died were released. Why did this happen after Christ's death and resurrection? Why? The resurrection was necessary for anyone to be saved. That's why. Christ had to first die for our sins. His death paid the price for our sins. His resurrection proved that he conquered death, which gives all who believe and believed in him in the Old Testament eternal life. That is salvation, saints, that comes from the resurrection. The resurrection was necessary for anyone to be saved. That's why they couldn't go to heaven until Christ died, rose from the dead, then ascended on high and sat at the right hand of God after preparing a place for us. Saints, I submit to you. I also want to mention that those who sleep in Christ are at God's right hand, seated with him, the dead in Christ, or wherever Christ is. Saints, I know this message blew you away. I hope it also edified and informed you and given you hope. The message was necessary because this world is ending. Yes, it is, saints. May not be today, may be today. Believers need to know where they are going and where their loved ones who believed in Christ are. If you have questions, continue to listen to the closing of this podcast for my contact information. I will answer you as soon as I can. Donate to and support this podcast. And for those of you who are already supporting the podcast, I appreciate you. I thank you. I hope God continues to bless you so that you can continue to bless the poor and sow seeds into his ministers who are teaching you Bible truth. Not only teaching you Bible truth, but who are living Bible truth. I want to thank everyone who is going to sow a seed after this message. I appreciate you. Sow a seed into this ministry. It is helping me pay for the software I need to set up my YouTube channel. It's going into my ministry. I have a real job. Yes, I'm not going on vacation on the real job. The job where my livelihood comes from, I praise God and thank him every day for providing for me. But I also pay bills and to set up a channel to where I can continue to spread the gospel throughout the world. My main platform is Spotify. Through Spotify, they distribute my podcast to other major platforms such as iHeartRadio, Amazon Prime, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, and many more. My podcast, is being distributed to 17 different countries. Now, if I upgrade, I can expand it to even more. I have never focused on the amount of followers or listeners I have. That's not important to me because I can remember when I had 3 listeners and now it's in the thousands. I stopped counting. To God be all the glory, not me. I am one of his chosen vessels to share his word. I take teaching God's word seriously. If I make a mistake on something when I listen to it and I am able to identify the mistake, I'll make the correction. Saints, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in today. And you are helping me to spread the gospel. Share this message with your family and friends. May God bless you. May he heal you and deliver you. I am taking, like I mentioned before, a 3-week vacation from podcasting. It is well deserved. My spirit needs to rest in Christ. I will work on starting my YouTube channel. You can still tune in. I will share previous episodes from my podcast and teachings from my favorite teachers in the body of Christ during my time off. And until next time, saints, love God, love your neighbor as yourself, and love your sisters and brothers in Christ. Continue to pray for me. I'll be back. Peace out. I hope you were enlightened by this message. If you have any questions, please send them to talkingbibletruth.cd@gmail.com, or you can use the Q&A. And if you would like to support this podcast, you can donate from the platform you are listening on: Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, and a few more, and contribute an amount of your choice. Or you can send your seed to my Cash App. That's $ Dr. Kamala D. That is $ capital D, lowercase r, capital C, lowercase AMALE capital D. Anything you choose to send will be greatly appreciated. Now, until next time, remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We as listeners walk by faith and not by sight. I am your host, Dr. Kamala D, rightly dividing the word of truth in peace and love. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope to see you next time.